Today is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Commemorations of St. Cajetan and Donatus in the Mass this morning. And the Feast of the Assumption is upcoming on Monday, August 15th. The feast, which is also a holy day of obligation. All are obliged, of course, to attend Mass. And Masses will be here at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Also, it is Vocation Sunday. Please do remember to offer your Mass and Holy Communion this morning for more vocations to our seminary and novitiate. And with regards to the rules for Holy Communion, please be sure to see the back of the bulletin. The epistle appointed to be read for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3. Brethren, such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also hath made us fit ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth. Now if the ministration of death, engraven with letters upon stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which is made void, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather in glory? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of justice aboundeth in glory. And the Holy Gospel? Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him and saying, 'Master, what must I do to possess eternal life?' But he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' He answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered rightly. This do, and thou shalt live.' He, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who also stripped him and, having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead. And it chanced that a certain priest went down the same way and, seeing him, passed by. Like manner also a Levite, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near him, seeing him, was moved with compassion. And going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence, and gave to the host, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend over and above, I at my return will repay thee.' Which of these three, in thy opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among the robbers?" But he said, "He that showed mercy to him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou in like manner." Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus said, "Which of these three, in thy opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among the robbers?" But he said, "He that shewed mercy to him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou in like manner." Words taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, perhaps some of you have heard of Father Maximilian Kolbe. Father Kolbe was born in Poland in the year 1894. And as a young boy, his mother constantly worried about him because he always seemed to be getting into trouble. And this was to change one day. Maximilian's mother noticed a change for the better in her wild son, and so she asked him, she always was trying to do, why he had changed his lifestyle, and she would press him for an answer to his changed lifestyle. And Raymond replied that he had asked the Virgin Mary what would become of him. And Our Lady did appear to Raymond and asked him to choose one of two crowns, either the red crown of martyrdom or the white crown of purity. And Raymond decided, and he chose both. So it was on September 4th in the year 1910 that Raymond received the Franciscan habit and took the name Maximilian. And he went on to study for the priesthood in Rome. And while he was there, he founded the Militia of Mary Immaculate, which is also known as the Knights of the Immaculata. And the purpose of this group was to spread devotion to Mary, the Mother of God. And Brother Maximilian was eventually ordained the Holy Priesthood in Rome in the year 1918, just at the close of World War I. And after his ordination, he then went back to Poland, to his home. Father Kolbe came to realize that modern methods of communication, which at the time was the radio and the press, could be used to reach millions of people about Christ. And so in 1927, after much prayer and suffering, Father Kolbe was allowed to establish a new friary which would use the modern means of communication to spread the gospel message. The friary was located near Warsaw and given the name Nikopolanow, which means City of the Immaculata. Eventually, the friary would grow into having over 700 members. This group, the Immaculata, printed catechetical and devotional material. They printed a daily newspaper and a monthly magazine. In the year 1930, Father Kolbe traveled to Nagasaki in Japan, and there he opened up a new City of the Immaculata. Fortunately, the City of the Immaculata was not hit by the atomic bomb, which destroyed the place, and the friars spent long hours caring for the many orphans of the bombing. Father Kolbe had very bad health. He suffered from tuberculosis, which forced him to rest more than he would have liked. And he was continually plagued with ill health throughout his life. In his articles and the talks which he gave, Father Kolbe never hesitated to condemn Nazism and communism. So when the Germans occupied Poland, the friar was prepared for the worst. In 1939, Father Kolbe was arrested by the Gestapo. Then he was released. And 2 years later, in 1941, he was again arrested. And shortly after, he was shipped to the concentration camp Auschwitz. And in the Nazi death camps, being a priest meant receiving special treatment. Priests were subjected to physical and mental abuse, as well as given extra work to do. Father Kolbe, worn out physically, was still an inspiration to his fellow prisoners. One of the fellow inmates recalls writing, "Even though suffering intense pain, Maximilian heard the confessions of others. He prayed with them, and he often gave them little conferences on Our Lady." He says he was a priest every inch of his burned out body. A few months of having been in Auschwitz, In the month of August, a prisoner escaped from the camp. And in retaliation, 10 prisoners were chosen at random to die in the starvation bunker. And when one of those chosen began to break down crying over leaving his wife and children behind, knowing that he would no longer see them again, Father Colby asked to take the man's place in the bunker. And when the camp commandant asked the priest why, because he had never seen such a thing, why he wanted to do this, Father Colby's simple reply was, "Because I am a Catholic priest." So the group was placed in the starvation bunker and left. Instead of giving in to despair, as so many before them had done, this group of condemned men spent their final days in song and in prayer with Father Colby as their spiritual guide. After 2 weeks in the bunker, only Father Colby and 3 others were still alive. Their end at last came on August 14th, 1941, when they were given a lethal injection of carbolic acid, which was on the eve of the Assumption of Our Lady. Father Colby has become the patron of journalists, families, and prisoners. A few years ago, I was bringing Holy Communion to a parishioner who has since passed away. And in the afterwards, in the midst of our conversation, she told me that years ago she used to take various trips to Europe, go on pilgrimages. And she told me that on one trip to Germany, she stopped into the bookstore, and there was much literature in this particular bookstore on Father Maximilian Colby. And she was in the process of buying some writing of his when in walked this man, and they got to talking. And he told her that he was Franciszek Gajonizek, the actual man who had his life spared because Father Colby died in his place. She was able to meet this man. And he was a Roman Catholic. And he told her that he tells people that as long as he has breath in his lungs, he considers it his duty to tell people about the heroic act of charity which was performed on that day by Maximilian Colby. Today's gospel, we read about the man who fell among robbers and how he was ignored by the passersby, and how was the Samaritan who helped that man. St. Luke writes, "And Jesus said, which of these three, in thy opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among the robbers? But he said, he that shewed mercy to him. And Jesus said to him, go and do thou in like manner. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up tempting him and saying, Master, what must I do to possess eternal life? Which, of course, was answered by our Lord with charity. Charity consists primarily in the love of God and our neighbor. And when we commit mortal sin, we destroy the virtue of charity in our soul by turning our back completely on God. We must never forget that the virtue of charity is a precious virtue. St. Paul tells us that charity surpasses all knowledge and that it is the bond of perfection. It is therefore the highest of all the virtues. The supernatural virtue of charity can easily be lost through the commission of mortal sin. Charity and mortal sin cannot exist in the same soul at the same time. And that is why it is so necessary that we must shun mortal sin, that we may preserve the great virtue of charity in our souls. And you know, by avoiding mortal sin, by avoiding the occasions of mortal sin, that is a proof of our love for God. Not only are we to have charity for God, but we must also have charity for our neighbor, as the gospel shows. Our Lord commands us to be charitable. He said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I am sure Father Colby remembered this very phrase of our Lord's that awful day when they were given the injection, and more pointedly when he opted to take the place of that man so that he could go home to his family when he was released. Let us then practice this divine command by being charitable in particular in word, and to remember that it is not an option. We do not have the option, but it is a divine command. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Perhaps the hardest is the love of our enemies. It can be very hard to do, but if you think about it, it is the love of our enemies that differentiates us from every other religion. And that is why our Lord said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.